Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nanga def. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and shortly we'll be joined by our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family and our guest co-host for the second Wednesday of the month, Maika. Maika joins us today to talk with Mark Shahid, who is the host and founder of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Labs and the Parenting Learning Labs. And they're going to take a look at greed. Greed, wanting more than your share. Is this something that tears families apart? What happens when someone transitions and the family starts fighting each other over who's going to get the spoils? What happens when families can't get together and form businesses because everybody wants to take more than they're giving? And no one trusts each other because everybody's worried that somebody's going to get more. What signals are we giving our children and what values are we giving our children? Based on the fact that many of them have chosen to steal, why are they believing that possessions are a symbol of success? And are we teaching them greed? We're going to take a quick break and bring in our guest co-host, Maika, and then we'll be joined by our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family, and our guest for the day, Mark Shahid, to take a look at greed. So we'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. And we're here. And I believe we have been joined by our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our guest host, Maika Bevel. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Female Solution as we talk with our dear brother, Mark Shahid, on greed.
Yes,
Grand Rising.
So glad to be here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Am I on?
Yes.
Okay, my mic
yes,
is
you
on.
You are on.
Oh, my God, we are back.
Yes. We are back, and we've got our co-host, Kareem Hamid, on the line, and Grand Rising, and Assalamu Alaikum to all.
Assalamu Alaikum to you, and Brother Mark, and Sister Naima.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu Alaikum. Peace be unto you, the peace that only Almighty God can give, and Grand Rising this morning.
Yes, it is a Grand Rising. And I'm so grateful for all of you who have joined us live on Facebook and YouTube, as well as on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show broadcast and on American Muslim 360. So we've got a great audience here and an opportunity to learn and teach as we take a look at something that tends to be at the root of all of our conflict, and that is greed. You know, one of the things that we spoke about at the beginning of the show is the fact that a lot of families can't do some basic things like get together and buy property or get together and form a business or even get together and plan a future because of greed, mistrust, somebody wanting more than others. And it's something that we're not doing correctly when it comes to raising our children to think as a collective and to learn how to share. And that's what we want to talk about today. And we've got our guest today, Mark Shahid, on the line. Mark, press 1. Of course, I see your number. And we'll open the mic. There you go. Yes. And we are so grateful. Mark Shahid, of course, has been the founder and host of the Marriage and Reconstruction Learning Labs and the Parenting Learning Labs, and we know that everything starts in the home. Our values, our principles, the way we learn to treat each other. So it's something that we need to correct in order to get rid of this pervasive problem of greed. So welcome to The Female Solution this morning. Brother Mark Shahid, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum to you, Naima Latif, to you, Maika, Kareem Hamid, and the Female Solution radio listening audience and the AM360 radio listening audience. I'm a little under the weather, so I'm going to do the best I can. We have a little sniffle here, so you may hear it in my voice. So if I have to cough, I'll try to mute myself. And thank you for the invite.
Well, thank you for joining us today.
Yes.
We hear a lot about greed, and I personally believe that this nation was founded in large part on greed, that slave trade was a result of greed. People didn't feel that they had enough, and so they desired to take what other people had, their very free agency, to promote themselves as free.
Yes.
And so we see it through that. Now, I have never met a truly greedy person. I've met hoarders, which is another form I think of greed. But I've never met a really greedy person, and I've lived around a lot of people in my life. Have you all met any greedy people?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. But it's interesting that you mentioned hoarding, because hoarding and greed really comes from the same incorrect belief in lack, that I lack something,
yeah,
I don't have enough.
Scarcity, right.
Yeah, there's a fear. So underlying greed is fear. Underlying hoarding is fear. Fear that
right.
I'm not going to have enough, so I'm going to hold on to everything I have, and I also need what everybody else has. So it's fear based on an incorrect perception that there isn't enough. So where do you think
right.
that comes from? Does it come from growing up in poverty? Does it come from, what does that come from? Why are we believing there's not enough? That the Creator's not giving everybody what they need? What is that belief coming from?
Well, you know, let me say this. When I think about that, thank Maika for inviting me. It starts with the seed. It starts with the seed. Not the root, but the seed. You can't get a root until you have a seed. The seed is the idea, you know, in family life. What type of, every parent should see themselves like a farmer that's planting the seed. And every parent should know and understand that they also will feed. And every parent had an obligation to let their children know what it is that you need. Because you want your children to be able to succeed, but actually the word tologist is soul, S-O-U-L, soul seed. So when we start with the idea, and by the way, you know I'm a word tologist. So the word idea is an acronym for influences. So you better get a pen and pad and take some of these things down, because Inshallah, meaning God willing, this would make some sense to you. That the word idea is influences determine eventual action. Whatever's most dominant, influences determine eventual action. So the seed that we plant is the idea in raising our children up. That can be the right idea, the wrong idea. And oftentimes, you can see it in the family life, which is the first social unit of human society. So it's very, very important in terms of the seed of the idea that we plant in our children. When it comes to sharing, also, you know, caring about others, and it starts right in the family life. So the parents have to be a model for sharing. You see, you begin to talk to your children at an early age. You know, we've all seen it before. You know, you give so much to your children, and it becomes a test. How do you do that? A test in terms of you give your child something and then you ask them, can mommy have some? Can daddy have some? You know, it seems very, very innocent. But I'm saying that we should do that as a test to see where our children are, you know, where they are. Are they willing to share with you, or are they like, mine, you know, this is mine, okay, well, yeah, this is a sign that the parenting skills had to take place to kill, you know, this misconception that the young child have that this is mine, and the unwillingness to share in that regard. You know, you take even like a ball. This is why in Islam, the first 7 years are called the imprinting stage, and we teach this on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. So children don't know, so you have to teach them what it is they don't know. They don't know they'll have more fun sharing their ball than just having the ball by themselves. They won't have a real ball. They have more of a ball if they share. So we teach that you should, in the first 7 years, you have to come into their world. What is their world? Their world is the world of play. Their children at work when they are playing. But this is the first opportunity for you to begin to teach them that every game that you play, there's rules and there's regulation. So depending on their motor skills, it may start off just rolling the ball back and forth to each other. You get down on the floor with them and you play with them.
You're taking turns.
Yeah, you're taking turns. So you're sharing. See, you're sharing. You're sharing the ball with them. So if when they have, and I would always say, you know, it's always good. It helps when they have a sibling. They may come along and everything, but the parent has to lead the way. So oftentimes it may be one child. I know some people may say, well, what if it's one child? Well, they probably have some cousins, or they may be other members in the family, or it could be some friends, you know, they make friends with when they go to preschool, kindergarten, first grade, or what. So you always want to put children in an atmosphere where they have other children comparable to them age-wise and everything. And you lead the way at home in the first, like I said, first social unit, which is the family life. You play with them. But at the same time you're playing with them, you also are teaching them. As their motor school skills advance, then you begin to bounce the ball. You bounce the ball to them, they bounce the ball back to you. Then later on, you can throw the ball and you can catch it, you see. And then you begin to start learning how to play maybe baseball or what they used to, I don't know if they play it today, but when I was coming up, I saw pretty much the girls would play it called dodgeball. I don't know if you heard of that before.
Mm-hmm.
So dodgeball. So all of this begins, as simplistic as that sounds, this is a way in terms of practical application, in terms of sharing what it is that they have. And so you're the best example. When I was coming up, and probably you, Naima, and Maika, and Kareem, my family went to the extent that if you had friends over, and you used to have those twin type popsicles, so, you know, you break them in half. Remember those old twin popsicles. Yeah. But if they didn't have enough, they didn't have enough to share with our friends, they would wait till our friends went home, and then when we come in, we would get our treat. But as long as our friends were there, they didn't have enough, we weren't getting a popsicle, you know. So it's all these little things, you understand, that help to plant the seed in terms of what it is that you need to have now, but to actually help them to succeed in life, to be able to just do it naturally. You see, always want to stay in touch with the original nature. And generally speaking, babies, even babies, infants, when you take care of them, you ever see nothing more beautiful to me than to see a baby give you a smile. And I used to teach my children, you only get to keep what you give away. You keep a smile when you give a smile. You keep a frown when you give a frown. So be conscious of what it is that you give. And there's always something to give. True living is giving. We had, as our children grow up, we had to sit down and we had to talk to them. But we always have to model for them in terms of what it is that we want to grow up in them. So as we know the seed, it has a natural progression when it's put in the right environment. The same thing with our children. They have to be put in the right environment. And that is the first social unit, which is the family life. I could say more, but I think I said enough for now in the opening statement.
Well, we certainly appreciate that, Mark Shahid. And, of course, if you are listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. And if you want to join us visually, you can go to Facebook or YouTube and type in the Female Solution, and you can write in your comments, and we will share them with our listening and viewing audience. We've got a comment that someone has shared with us on Facebook. Zelda Robinson says, Grand Rising, very appropriate subject. En route to Dr. Willie Wilson, CTA bus ride with six-point plan to combat crime. And, of course, Willie Wilson, you know, one of the people running for mayor of the city of Chicago, has been very generous in giving away money, giving people money for groceries, giving people money for gas, with the understanding that the root of crime is often fear of lack or belief in lack, and therefore theft as a way to compensate for one's perceived lack. So if the idea is for those who are feeling themselves as not having enough to pay bills, to buy groceries, if he just shared his multi-millions, then people would not be inclined to steal. You know, and it makes a lot of sense. And he's one of the few philanthropists that have been very open in giving to people like the homeless and those who are struggling, you know, single-parent families where children don't have enough food, enough clothes. So, you know, that's something that I think we as a society can look at. Are we not sharing enough? Like, you know, Mark is talking about the examples that you set where you don't share with a few people if you don't have enough for everybody. So friends aren't sitting there watching you eat treats and they're hungry and they're sad because their parents couldn't buy them and then they're mad at you and resentful because you don't share and you don't have enough for them. I mean, and I'm grateful that, you know, for parents who set that example because
I And you know what, I want to say this, Naima, that in the religion of Al-Islam, even when it comes to, we have a responsibility in terms of needs, in terms of neighborly needs. And the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, he said that we shouldn't go to bed at night with our stomach full while our neighbor is hungry. You see, when I was coming up, we shared with our neighbors, and our neighbors shared with us. You see, this brings about even more of a solidified bond, a bonding. You see, it starts with family life, but families make up neighborhoods. And
absolutely.
So, you know, we have to be taught, our children have to be taught, and we have to learn that there's an obligation to share with our neighbors. And then as we grow in the right conception, in the right perception, then we ought to share with all of humanity. Now, these things can, depending on the age and stage of our children, these things can actually be taught in the home life with the mother and the father. You know, as the word tolerance is, the word family is father and mother inevitably loving you. And so when you give love, you receive love. You see, this is very important. But the parents have to understand and realize what their role and responsibility is to the children. You know, when we give a very simplistic but a very profound definition on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and Naima, you heard it many times as you was the first to volunteer to join me. We started out on AM 360. So now I have that same platform on IWDM Radio. And it's a very important platform because, you know, many of the ills that we see in society today, matter of fact, almost every ill that we see, you know, as you talk about greed, all of this can be traced back to what the seed, what has been planted in our children, you know, in the family structure.
Mark, before you continue, because you mentioned seed, and of course, now that I'm growing food, I really understand a whole lot of the farming analogies to, you know, raising children. You got to have good soil. You got to have fertile soil where there's nutrients. You know, otherwise your crops don't grow well. You know,
that's right.
And they might even be bitter. You know, so the foundation of where they're planted is so critical. Now, Maika, you're out in farmland and in a farming community where this is demonstrated every day. And I think when we were in agricultural places, there was more of that spirit of sharing and community, and you know, people had more of that bond of I'll make sure my neighbor eats. If their crops didn't go well and mine did, I'm not going to sit here and food. And I know that maybe they had a bad crop this year, and so their children over there are hungry. So I think that was more of a sharing. So, Maika, do you see that in that community where there tends to be more sharing of food because people are growing food together, and you know they have more of a understanding of the community life that's needed to in order to teach our children those principles? What do you observe?
Well, yes, absolutely, because one of the things when you're growing food and you're a farmer, one of the things you learn is that you always have an abundance. There's no scarcity, because from that one little seed comes many thousands of seeds, and you begin to see the principle of God operating within that one little seed. I remember when I first learned how to farm, I identified myself as a seed. I saw the seed, and then I was able to identify myself as a seed being able to bring forth fruit. And that was very healing and very enlightening for me, to begin to see the world from a position of being a seed and having things to give. And I think it's that people need that experience. Young people need that experience. I think when mothers wean their children, they should be weaned to know how to grow some, to plant a seed, so that they go to the next level in terms of food production. But every farmer knows that there's always going to be an abundance. So you have the capacity and the ability to have things to give to others. And that's very profound and very important. You know, as I'm listening to Mark, and I really thank you for your acronyms, and, you know, they're very apropos. The element of injustice shows up in terms of greed. Greed is a level of injustice that's being exerted in the world in relationship to you and others, that you can't see the value of another person having something of equal value to what you have, or being able to, even in terms of, you know, covetousness comes into it also to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you begin to covet what somebody else has, and you want it, and then you set out to find ways to take it, like stealing, lying, you know, whether it's a wife, whether it's things that they've made. You know, all these things come from a feeling of lack and limitation. Somewhere within the person growing up, they developed this attitude that there was not enough to go around, that there's a lack, and that there are limitations, and I can't go beyond it, so I can't get this for myself. or this is not available to me. And we have to really look at that. I'd really like to hear you all express what you experienced in meeting people who are greedy. How did that look to you? What did they do? What kind of activities did they engage in? Could you just share, because I've focused on greed, and I couldn't think of nobody that I've met who was truly greedy. Can you share that with me?
Absolutely. Well, before you go on, guys, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back and then hear from our co-host Kareem Hamid, and then we've got some calls on the line and some comments on Facebook and YouTube. And, of course, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891. Make sure you press 1 so we know you have something to say. So we'll take a quick break. And we'll be right back and continue to talk about it with Maika as Mark Shahid examines greed. We want to hear from you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters. We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our guest host on this second Wednesday of the month, Maika Devil.
Unmuted.
Joining us from Pembroke, Illinois. And we've got our co-host back with us today as we talk about greed. And we know it's something that is learned somewhere in the family. And our guest today, Marsha Heap, host and founder of the Parenting Learning Labs and the Courtship and Marriage Learning Labs, has given us some insight about the ideas and attitudes that are created in the household. So, Kareem, what do you observe there in the city of St. Louis? Now, I've been to St. Louis, and I know it's just like other cities. It's got its wealthy areas and its poor areas, and usually where people have less, there's more crime. What have you observed when it comes to people trying to take what others have?
Well, you know, there's a beginning of everything. There's a cause to every action. And I'm grateful that the idea of the agrarian society, the farming society, when we lived on farms, you know, we had to work together. Our survival depended on us working together as a family, even uncles and cousins, in order to survive in an agrarian environment. But after having left that, we were introduced to materialism. Capitalistic materialism, and our value systems shifted. They shifted to the accumulation of material things, But prior to that, families worked as one unit. Sometimes we, as parents, we have to watch what we say to our children. Phrases like, get your feet off of my couch.
Ooh.
yeah. This is my house. You don't talk to me like that in my house. But don't put your foot on our couch. You know, this is our home. There's a sense of ownership and having a stake. In
you know, this is our home. There's a sense of...
I'm sorry.
I hear myself.
Yeah. Hit the wrong button. Sorry about that.
Yes. Yes. But even I remember my growing up here in St. Louis. Most people had backyard gardens, typical gardens.
Yes. Yes.
And they shared with each other.
Yes.
We actually played games that included others to end that function. Girls jumped rope. They jumped rope, and it required cooperation. Two people
right.
turning the rope and one girl jumping. As
right.
young boys, we shot marbles. We do a circle in the dirt, put the marbles in, and that was a group effort. Although
yeah.
we were competing, still we had to cooperate with each other. So moving from a sharing environment, a matter of fact, our survival depended on us sharing. Now,
right.
It's somewhat we are in an environment. It's the me generation now. Me, me. I'm the most important. Everything revolves around me. And that lends to greed. The greed is because one believes that they will achieve a certain status or a certain power. It is a power
yes.
grab that the more I have, the more powerful I am, and the more control I can have over others. So this idea of greed, it eats like a cancer. It eats like acid at metal. The whole community suffers because we're not willing to share with each other. There is enough of everything on the earth, everything. But we have to be willing to share and know that. You know, let me say this. Americans are suffering from depression.
Yeah.
In the most material, just loaded with wealth, the richest nation on earth, and the population, it has been acknowledged that many are suffering from depression.
Yeah.
Well, there is a simple solution to that. When you feel depressed or down, go and help someone else. Do a good deed for someone else.
Yes.
And you gain, and I guarantee you, you will be rewarded for that. You will come out of that depression. So materialism is one of the culprits. So and a sense of wanting to be powerful, a sense of the big I, and not the we. Turn that M upside down, and there's the answer. It is we. I'll stop right there, my sister.
Yes, that's definitely the case. Yes. We need to think in terms of we and not me. Now, Maika mentioned earlier about how this nation was founded. And even as an agrarian-based society where there is this abundance of land to farm, and we all know the Thanksgiving story of how the Europeans who came here didn't really know how to grow things in this country. They didn't really have those skills, and then the native people showed them how and helped them get through that first winter where they could have starved to death because they didn't have any food, and so they shared their food. You know, we all know that Thanksgiving story. But then what evolved after that was such extreme greed, and this is something that I spoke with recently in an interview with one of the kings of Ghana who came here during, you know, for a ceremony with Reverend Jesse Jackson a few weeks ago. And we talked about the fact that the slave trade took people who were greedy on both sides in order for it to be successful, because you had people who wanted, like you say, power. They wanted power over those that they were competing with for wealth, and went to war, and then took those prisoners of war and sold them to the Europeans, who then took those people who had farming skills, because they came out of a farming society, and brought them to America, and then forced them to work at gunpoint and with the threat of torture and death to work in the fields. And they paid them no money, and they fed them basic garbage, you know, what we throw out, you know, hog guts and everything else, and then whatever you can managed to learn how to grow, you know, wild greens and all these other things that we knew how to grow. So we found a way to survive from having nothing, so that people had this large workforce that they didn't have to pay any money to. And that was the greed of this capitalist society, kept it going so long, was that there were people in so many places making money from it. You had other nations that were getting the produce from what was being presented here. Being produced here, you know, at lower prices because you don't have to pay your workers. Then you had the greed of the people. They're all people that sold them. And it was said that even when there was a law made, I believe it was in 1808, where they outlawed importing any more Africans, there was a delegation that came over here from Africa to meet and try to convince the government to reinstitute slavery because they were making money. And we've still got families who made money off of the slave trade in Africa. And so the king who was here and addressed that, he said, we need to really say we're sorry. We need to acknowledge that we played a role in that because of our greed. And we need to apologize to our American-born brothers and sisters, and welcome and invite you back home, because that's your land too that you were taken from. So it was international greed. I mean, you had it was a whole business surrounding the slave trade. You had the boat makers, you know, the shipbuilders. They made money. You know, you had all the bankers. I'm sorry, what was that?
Banks making money.
Yeah. Because they had to lend the money in order to build the ships and all that, and they got interest, you know, on their loans. So, I mean, so everybody's greed kept that system going for 300 years nearly, because everybody chose to look away from the ethics of it and just look at their profit they were making. Yes.
Yes. You know, Naima, there is a professor on the so-called continent of Africa. His name is Patrick Lumumba. He was named after Patrice Lumumba, one of the freedom fighters for independence on the continent of Africa. And I shared part of an interview that he gave, and he was expressing how corruption is why we see the vast population on the continent of Africa that has a wealth of resources, how the people are suffering from lack of necessary resources to sustain their life. And he has said that it is because of the corrupt leadership that
right.
are still in cahoots with the colonizers. They still
yeah.
look out for the interest of France, Portugal, Great Britain, but those leaders are living in the lap of luxury. I mean,
yes.
they have bank accounts that are very exorbitant. Yes. So this greed factor is harming us locally, nationally, and internationally. I'm going to complete that interview with him, inshallah, next Monday. It is very intriguing. Corruption and greed is eating at the very fabric of our human existence. Yes.
Absolutely.
That need
That's
for
it.
Power. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Well, we're going to take a caller. And, of course, if you're on our switchboard and have something to say, please press 1. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891. And, you know, when you mention the wealth disparity, when I went to Liberia back at the end of 1994 for the World Conference of Mayors, I was really shocked. I mean, I've seen poverty, you know, and I've seen mansions and everything. But to see, it's almost like side by side. You have this great big mansion, you know, opulence, the wealth and all of that. And then it's like almost a few feet away, you got somebody living in a tin shack, you know, that pulled together with parts from a dump heap, you know. And you're thinking, how is that possible? How are you can look out your window and you see people living like that and you don't feel bad, you know? I mean, at least here, there are neighborhoods of wealth, but you can kind of ignore the homelessness and all that. But to have it right at your doorstep and you've got the wealth and you choose to just ignore it and let people suffer, that's what kind of shocked me, the proximity of the wealth to the extreme poverty. And it just seemed like people who had more than their share, it didn't bother them. So let me take a caller. Area code 706-202, Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question or comment.
Assalamu alaikum and greetings to the family Female Solutions. This is Brother Kwame. I'm calling you from the stolen lands of the Muscogee Creek here in Eatonton, Georgia.
Wa alaikum assalam, my brother.
Thank us, brother.
Thank us, brother.
And the statement, Naima, that you was just saying, that you went to Liberia, Washington, D.C. can look out the window and see the same thing.
Ooh.
So how are you comparing Liberia and you have it right here at home? And the thing that you're talking about is greed. All the other 6-7 deadly sins go with greed. How is a child conceived? In lust, or is it conceived in love? How is a person that sees a person with their family prospering, that envy? Or are you looking at sloth, somebody just sitting back and saying, okay, we go into their country at a time and look at our country in Europe, and we come into the continent and see a whole civilization made where we have cobblestone streets and dressed in silk and looking grand. That's envy. And they're coming in, and they're coming in to take. And they have never done any place that they've gone is to take and force, because you were talking about Thanksgiving. We had been here in 1311. The one of the richest men that was in the continent, Mana Musa's brother, Ahmed, came here with 2,000 boats in 1311. We had navigated the world, and we shared in what we had learned about being prosperous on this planet. We have these aberrant children that lack, and their envy and false pride, because one of the 7 deadly is pride, but you have a false pride. And these are the things that we are seeing. We're looking at the slave trade. The part of that was that in them coming and seeing, because it started not with them trading, because right now we're still in the slave trade. The three things that were used for the slave trade is being used right now today. Is that number one, they was using rum and alcohol. We have more liquor stores in our communities than anywhere, any other people. The second thing was guns. We're knowing and seeing the black-on-black crime that's committed with our children and our adults with guns. And the third thing was cloth. And you talked about agriculture, was the creating of the industrial age to create cotton, to create and most the most expensive cotton that you can buy, sheets or anything made from, is Egyptian cotton. Because it is the best of the best. So we're looking at those three things that still right now today causes what we're talking about, greed. Because you give a person alcohol, which the native calls it the mind changer. You put a spirit in the spirit of the human being, and you kill that spirit. Guns is a weapon, and it's through the using of a chemical or mineral to make gunpowder. And who was the one who formulated and made metallurgy to make bullets and metals that you make guns with? We did. But they took it and made something other with it. So we're looking at, okay, how do we change this? We got to look at those 7. Not just the one, because each one connects to the other. And how do we free ourselves from those 7? Because we once upon a time lived on this planet.
Yes. Well, that is the question. Because the greed that we experienced is so pervasive. Even now, as you pointed out, we are still self-destructing and somehow not getting the message to our children that they're falling into a trap that's leading them back into the slave system of prison, where they again will be stripped of their name and forced to work for nothing.
But how they are conceived is what we're having to look at. How do we,
a
man and a woman, come together and conceive the union to bring forth life?
And when you do that, when you do anything that you do that indigenous teachings taught us, is that when you do it thinking of seven generations. If I'm going to lay down with this woman, how is seven generations? Because when she conceives within her, that child is growing and the eggs and the sperm is growing inside of that child. So there's three generations in one body.
Wow, that is true. You know, that's very significant that you bring up the intentions behind the conception. And, Maika, you know, we've talked about how we need to teach conscious conception, because what happens is it's unconscious. And it's based on, I guess you could say, a principle of greed. I want to get something from this person. You know, I want to experience a physical sensation using this person's body. I'm not really trying to plan for a family. So if that person ends up pregnant, I don't want to have the responsibility of being a family member or being one who raises a child. My intention was selfish. I wanted a physical sensation from an intimate experience, an intimate physical experience with this person. That was my intention. So if that's the intention going into it, then what is the outcome? And then how is the child produced from that union going to experience life if their conception is resented by the parents? That you're right. That's the core of it. And of course, Kareem, you mentioned in several of the men-only discussions how men are kind of conditioned to do that, how men are conditioned to exploit women, how men are conditioned to misuse, misguide, even lie to women to just have that experience, which is not connected to seven generations of family planning. So I see that as a root cause of our self-destruction, not building families that build communities, that build cohesion, that engage in sharing. So how can we change the root of the problem? Does it start, you know, Brother Mark, does it start in what we're teaching people about marriage and family and purpose and
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I know I was on mute. Yes, very, very important. You know, we have different family structures today, and most of us accept, you know, children, babies. The baby is innocent. My good brother and friend who passed away, Dick Gregory, I remember many years ago, he had a book, and one of the subtitles in the book, No Such Thing as an Illegitimate Child. No such thing as an illegitimate child. The child has legitimate needs and rights also. But until we begin to get it right, you know, we've talked about it before, depending on where you're getting your data from, the African-American children that are born are anywhere from 70% to 75%. And some statistics that I've run into, close to 80%. That are born out of wedlock. That should not be, because you have to value the sacred institution of marriage. It was established by the Creator, and there have to be a commitment. There have to be a commitment to be responsible. You know, when we talk about sexuality, something I'm going to be doing a workshop on in the very near future, words that end in ality is a play on the word reality. Like personality is the reality of the person. Sexuality is the reality of sex. Most people, and especially African Americans, I was listening to you go back in the day, you know, where they had bucks. They call them bucks. And their role was just to go and impregnate the African women, you know, with no type of responsibility or what, because the more slaves you had, obviously the more free workers that you had on the plantation. And so we still see that today. Matter of fact, when I was coming up, I remember an uncle that I had actually used to talk about approximately how many children did he have? And he said it in a boastful way. You know, for back in the day, for men to see themselves as men is how much weight could you lift and how many babies could you produce? Not understanding, realizing that you have a responsibility. So until we get back to the right formation of family, you know, the sacred institution of marriage comes first, where there's a commitment to whatever comes of that relationship that you have. And that husband, knowing and realizing that he could be a father, and he would be there to be a father. There's a difference between father and daddy. We make that distinction on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that if a male is not impotent, he can be a daddy. And this is where you have shows like Maury. It's ridiculous because there are women that come on in, you know, acknowledging promiscuity, and there's a 1-800 number where people view, and they say, do you think that John is the daddy of this child? You see, just, I mean, totally obnoxious and should be embarrassing to come on and let it be known that you deal in promiscuity, and even you don't know who it could actually be, and they pay for the test to tell you that this is not the biological daddy. So these type of things, okay, so is this a family? Yes, the child is, like Dick Gregory saying, the child is very legitimate. The child has legitimate needs and rights, but oftentimes it's not about these males that actually are having sex, you know, with women and producing children and then leaving them. And so this brings about a great void in the family life. And so when we value what it is that God has established, God says in the Quran that he created the human being from water, and that has a significance there. It's just not water physically, but water is emblematic of spirituality, emotionality, also sensitivity. This is needed first and foremost. And then he says, then he established the relationship of lineage, which is family and marriage, in that God has power or influence over all things. So he has influenced us, but something has gone wrong in terms of the influence that's actually innate, that's in us.
Something has gone wrong with the
something
influence.
Has gone
wrong. Well,
yeah,
Mark, we got to stop for just a second. We got to take a pause. Yeah, well, hold that thought. We got to take a quick pause, and then we'll come back and get your comments, Kwame, and then, of course, Maika and Kareem, and we've got another caller on the line. We're going to open the mic for 773-960. And you got a caller on your
line?
And
air code 312-671.
All right, and we will be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay, don't stray away. We will be right back in just a moment. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. And if you're on our switchboard, got a question on the switchboard there, press 1, and we'll open your mic and get your thoughts. And we will be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Oh,
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Unmuted.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with my co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family, as we join with our second Wednesday of the month. And we're talking to our guest, Mark Shaheed, about greed. Now, of course, a lot of things have come up, and one of them being that the foundation of this problem is in the family. And when we see family members talking about my this, my that, and not sharing, that's what we're teaching our children. But also when we see general greed in the society and the way our society has been profit-driven, to the point of being willing to even kill and destroy people so that they can take what they have. What are we teaching our children? So you were about to make a comment, Kareem, before the break, and then we've got area code 773-960.
Naima, could I say this before you go to Kareem? Let me say this before Kareem, you respond. So when we look at the word wrong, something should come to us in regards to that. You know, as a word terminologist, it's a weak reality obtaining nothing good. We started out in terms of talking about idea, the influence that determines eventual action. If we get a weak reality that obtains nothing good, and that's what's influencing us, then it should not be startling to us that this has become a tradition. This has become a tradition. We need to know what is the right way in terms of the formulation of families. And the Creator that has created all of us and has established for us the sacred institution of marriage, people have gone away from that. But this is a sacred institution, and family life is a sacred institution too. It's part of God's will and plan. We need to accept that regardless of what religious persuasion that we have. Other than that, we'll be in trouble, and we're seeing this as a result, because the child is the one that is hurt most in terms of just having a mother at best. And as I was saying earlier, there's a difference between daddy and father. A male that's not impotent can become a daddy, but a father is a role and a responsibility. And there have been many African-American males, I didn't say men, I said males, that have been arrogant in terms of their role and responsibility as real men and as fathers. Because if you really truly want to be a father, that means you have to take the first step first. Fatherhood is not first. You understand? You become a husband that's committed in the sacred institution of marriage, and then family comes after that. You don't want to put the cart before the horse, and we see too much of that. I could say a lot more, but I'm thinking that if we begin to start getting it right instead of wrong, we're operating on the wrong idea that has influenced and determined the eventual action that we see. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Yeah.
So the question is, how do we begin to teach right in a society that is often doing wrong?
But we use the wrong words. Almighty God says to us in the Quran, do not kill your children out of want. Out of want. God provides for you, and he will provide for them. I have heard from young men their aversion to marriage, and what comes up is financial responsibility of marriage. There are young men that are saying that now this is based on materialism, that if the marriage does not work out, that he can become financially ruined. Now, he's basing that on material accumulation. There was a time when men would say to their sons at the proper time, when will you start a family? That was the rites of passage. When will you start a family? He didn't say when will you, lay down with women, but when will you start a family? That was a sign of stability, manhood, and responsibility. But we become so materialistic now. So materialistic that there is an aversion to taking on the male responsibility of being responsible for something, for someone other than yourself. Selfishness breeds greed. It breeds greed. But Almighty God has said to us, do not kill your children out of want. Now, he may not kill that child. But when he walks away from it and leaves that child fatherless, that's like a death. That's a black hole in that child's life. They are negatively affected by that. So I'm hoping that as men, that we recalibrate, have a reset. Matter of fact, I stated a few weeks ago that it's a shame that most people have not been introduced to their true self. You can live your whole life and never meet yourself. If someone said, show me you, you may reach and pull out a picture, photograph, or look in the mirror and look at your physical presence and say, there I am. No, you are inside of there. This is only a carriage that you utilize to have contact with the physical world. You are a spiritual being. You are a consciousness, a consciousness. So we have to be introduced to our true self and then educate that true self to meet the requirements of being a true human being. Right now, too many of us are operating on the level of the animal, of the animal.
Well, you know what,
sexual.
You know what, Brother Kareem? One of the things that I used in my book, The Female Solution, was examples from the animal kingdom and how they get it right and we don't, because they form families, they cooperate, they share, they have a group consciousness to provide for all the members of the group, and we're lacking that. So they, in terms of functioning, have been closer to the spiritual ideal of family and community than humanity has been. And in giving those examples, I'm also, and I think Brother Kwame wants to add to that, and we've got a caller. Brother Kwame, let me open up a mic for area code 773-960 for a moment. Oh, well, go ahead, Brother Kwame, and then we'll open up the other mic and get comments. But one thing I wanted to say is that we have to change the purpose and definition even of marriage so that it meets today's needs, because in the past a wife was a possession.
Yes.
And that was part of the greed factor. You know, I have a bunch of possessions, you know, and we have to see each other as those spiritual beings and then form a partnership where we're working together to enhance what we create, as opposed to a woman being seen as a burden, not just somebody I got to take care of who's going to drain my finances and spend all my money, you know, because that is, like what you're saying, Kareem, that's part of what is a deterrent. So we have to change the definition of that relationship. So, Brother Kwame, go right ahead.
Yeah, and that's the key part, because we're using a language that is not our own. And we defining ourselves by someone. It's what power is. Power is the ability to define someone's reality and to make them to believe that which is not their own. That is not our way. When we, once upon a time, when a man chose to take a wife, he merged the families together. You merged the tribes together, and you unified and you brought that together as a community or a small nation that would do, because in the animal world, the wolves are the most family oriented, and they have a pack. The lions have a pride. The horses have a herd. So what we're doing is that we're letting someone define a reality that is not our own. And what we're looking at when the brother was speaking about water, water holds memory and consciousness. We are 70% water, and we hold memory and consciousness. And you spoke earlier about the 1808 when they said about not having slaves come into this continent, because they began to do what? Breathe. They said that when a child takes his first breath, that's $300. That's the way they looked at us, as a commodity. We were seen as a animal to them, that we had been herded from one land to another land to do the labor as the animal for them to create the system that we have fallen into. We have this false pride. And the thing that you do is drop the P off of pride, and they just ride your back. They ride us.
and we don't look at, we go around thinking we got all these material things, and they're riding your back.
Well, you know what?
They're selling you those material things.
Well, right. You mentioned people riding your back. I believe it was Reverend Jesse Jackson that said, nobody can ride your back unless it's bent. He might have taken the quote from Dr. Martin Luther King, but either way, that's the case. Nobody can ride your back unless it's bent, which means if you are not standing up and standing on your own two feet and supporting yourself and being willing to be the strong person that you were born to be, yeah, somebody can ride you. So that's on us. It always comes down to taking responsibility for the choices that we've made. I don't believe in blaming white people, black people, anybody else.
No.
Everybody's responsible for their own choices. And if our lives are being affected negatively, we got to look at, what am I doing? What am I doing that's creating this reality that I don't like? Let me go to area code 7739.
We have a caller here. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Okay.
Go ahead.
773-960, and then after that we'll take your call.
Hold on.
Okay, good morning.
Yes, give your name you're calling from and your comment.
Yeah, this is Koofy, the most avoided man in the whole world. I talk to 5,000 women every day on my Facebook page, and it's a blessing because I get a chance to speak, and I see a lot of change with our youth. My great-great-grandfather ran away from the plantation when he found out that he wasn't from Africa, that he wasn't brought over here. He ran back to his property. So this is the biggest lie that we're telling ourselves, that we were brought over here from another land when we were already here in this land. If you look at Abraham Lincoln, this is our free people. I look at the facts, the receipts. Look at Abraham Lincoln, executive order number 15. He hired 200,000 black Freeman Army soldiers to go in with wagons, ride around to all the plantations all over the states, pick up the slaves, okay? And he gave each one of those Freeman, black Freeman, 40 acres in the Georgia area, it's documented, to house the slaves to start their own towns.
We have documentation of the towns that were started by those freedmen, and we do appreciate your comment. We also understand that we had everything from the Seminole Nation, and we also understand, like what Baba Kwame said, about the 2,000 ships that came here before Columbus. So, yes, America was populated by African people prior to the enslavement experience, which was a global enterprise. So there have been many situations that African people have been in, both prior to the enslavement and after. And even those who were born here free as a result of relation in the United States government, the Dred Scott decision and other things that made it possible to then hire people to go and capture black people and sell them into slavery, whether they had been former slaves or not, because of their skin color. So even those who had been born free or had been here before the Europeans were in danger. And again, it's because of that quality we're talking about, which is greed.
Naima,
so,
I'd like to chime in.
Yes,
I'd
go
like
right
to chime in for a moment. You know, I was sitting up here thinking, where have I experienced greed? And I remember recently I was in the midst of some people. I was sitting in the midst of them, and they were chain smoking, and they were drinking can after can of beer. And I realized now that was greed, that chain smoking, and that addiction comes from greed. That is a part of the formation of the greed that people experience through addiction. And I just wanted to throw that out, that's something that we can address also. Absolutely. People just don't get enough, whatever it is they have.
Well, addictive behavior, once your body comes acclimated to using an outside substance to generate the kind of physical sensation you desire, then that becomes an addiction. Even though we have the capacity to generate endorphins, which calm us and make us feel good, we have the power to generate that within ourselves. But when we lose the capacity to do that because of depression, and I think we said earlier about, you know, the amount of people that are depressed. So when your body can't create the necessary chemical reaction to calm yourself, to give you that feeling of well-being, then you look for another chemical outside yourself, tobacco with nicotine or marijuana or alcohol. And like it was said earlier, you know, these are things that have been used to enslave us. The desire for alcohol, and that was a trading substance.
You know, Naima,
that brought people.
There is a phrase: appetites unchecked by knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Appetites. The oppressor of human beings, they know our makeup, and they come to us through our appetites that is unchecked
mm-hmm.
by God-given knowledge. And that is how they're able to manipulate the human being, through his appetite, wanting to be power, food, you name it, through our human appetites. That is how they get us, and that idea of greed. God says in the Quran, and he's speaking to a rich man. God says to him, "Seek by the means available to you, the home of the hereafter, but do not neglect your share of the physical world." Now, why would God say that to a rich man? He's rich. God is reminding that rich man that you have everyone else's share, that you have mm-hmm. someone else's share. See? So that be mindful of your share, and you will be all right. You don't have to have everyone else's share. So important. We have a caller here on AM360 aboard. If I can open up their mic at this time, Naima.
Yeah, go right ahead. Open the mic.
Okay. Area code 312-671. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Yes, sir. Well, on Yah Shalom. Can you hear me, Brother Kareem?
Yes, Minister Kareem.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm so glad. Hallelujah. Allahu Akbar, that I could be a part of this discussion today. First of all, Sister Naima, you know I support the marriage. And anybody that really want to get married, you know, I want to get in touch with Brother Minister Plump. You know, wrong is really the negative part of a human being, which is really the lower part, you know, from your neighbor down. The right part is the neighbor up, which is the God-like consciousness. And I want you to know that, you know, my people, and I come from a long line of marriage, was 50 years, 40 years, and 30 years. For myself. So I will begin like this. The Honorable Mayor Harold Lee Washington said, we must plump the whole community. So the whole community really means the whole world. So we are plumping up Chicago, America, and the world with peace, love, unity, marketing people. And we are marketing the female solution because it is the greatest. Yes, ma'am, no doubt. You know, God is good, and God is the greatest. And God also and the people responds to need, greed, or curiosity. So we have to leave out of the greed, and then we go with the need. We all need God, and it should be in the black code that we are establishing now, that we are revising the black code, which came with Sister Queen Angela Davis. So we got God's will only, Allah Ya'akbar, meaning God is the greatest, and God's will only for a man and woman to marry. That's the greatest thing that a man can obtain, is, and he finds a good thing when he marries. And really, a wife is the man heaven on earth. And we have to understand, and understanding is bliss. What Dr. King, the power is, what he said, we must, we all can be great, and if we just serve. And we must not let nobody take our manhood. We all can help save the children and the family and our people if we everybody helps stop the violence, robbing, stealing, and killing, and then looting, and the hijacking, and all of this wrong, evil stuff that we do. So we come together, Sister President Dalva Watkins. I think y'all know Dalva too. Every Saturday we come together on the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And she's the president of Harold Washington Park District. Every Saturday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock, we in the prayer line together praying for the community at 5300 South High Park Boulevard. I want to invite the Female Solution and everybody in the Chicago area. Matter of fact, it's so spiritual. You know, I'm inviting, Chicago and America and the whole world, because, you know, it takes a whole village to raise one child. Now, we have three meetings every Sunday from 2:30 to 4:30. We meet at Lake Grove Village. You know, Mama D always say it takes a village to raise one child, and nobody can raise a kid. So we have 35
other than its mother.
That's right.
the mother goat can, sure.
South Cottage Grove, every Sunday from 2:30 to 4:30. And then we on Tuesday, all praises due to Allah for the honor of Elijah Muhammad. Tuesday is Unity Day in the community. So we promote unity in the community, unity in the family.
We appreciate
unity,
that.
With the people. From two
well,
to,
we definitely appreciate
Yeah, but on Tuesdays from 6:58 to 9 o'clock, and then on Thursdays from 2 to 4 o'clock. And the reason why we do unity on Tuesdays and Thursdays is because they got the U in them. And those are the most important in business days of the week. And that's from 2 to 4 on Thursdays. So for more information,
we appreciate that. But we got to take a break. But Minister Plum, I want to make sure that our listening audience and those who are viewing it, I have it on the screen that you're from Chicago. But I want to make sure that our listening audience knows you're from Chicago. So we're talking about Central Standard Time, because, you know, we've got a global audience, and if they want to tune in or just be in solidarity with you wherever they're at during the time that is Central Standard Time, they can figure out what time that is where they are. Because if they're on the East Coast, it's going to be a different time. It's going to be an hour before. And if they're on the West Coast, it's going to be 2 hours before. And what is it? And the East Coast would be two. It would be an hour after, you know, the time you said. And then of course, wherever else they are in the world, like if they're in London, it'd be GMT, which is, I think, 6 hours ahead. So, you know, we have to always remember that we're talking to a global audience. So when we mention places and times, we can help people convert to what that time is based on where they are if they want to join with us at the time we're doing something. So thank you so much for sharing
right.
that with us, and we'll make sure that our global audience can be in solidarity with that and continue doing spiritual work, because that's where the solution is, in the spirit.
The whole world.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We got to take another. We got to take our last break, and when we come back, I want to take a look at the whole thing of changing the message we give to our children about wealth. And one of the things that we can tell them that we value, so that they can change their perspective on having things as a way of evaluating their worth as a human being. So we'll be right back after this last break, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima.
We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
Follow us on Facebook
and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve
Unmuted.
This message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
And let me find...
You're back.
Yeah. We are back. And thank you to all of you who have participated in this discussion about greed.
Naima, I have
another caller here.
And you can open the mic for that other caller.
Okay, code 213925. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please. Yes, that's all right. Can you hear me?
You're breaking up real bad there. Can you hear me, Naima?
Experiences. But ultimately, we're all responsible for what we create in our own lives, whether that be the relationships that we have, the people that we choose to interact with, and the ethics and values that we follow. My concern is that we have followed, and I think it was Kwame that said that we're following a culture that's not our own. But greed is a universal human factor that we find everywhere. We can't say it's just a European or an African or an Asian trait. It's within the individual soul themselves. And like Kareem was saying, you know, who are you really? You are the person, you are the spirit inside this body, inside this encasement. And what you do shows who you are. So my question is, okay, making sure I connect. Well, anyway, hopefully is that better? Okay, yeah, I've reconnected my internet. So maybe that was it. But that's the question, because the signals that our children get based on watching us treat people better who have wealth and be mean to people who don't, the signal that we're giving them is, in order to be important, I need to have money. So I need to take if I don't have it myself, and then people will admire me and they will respect me. I remember when those starter jackets, you know, with the professional athletes' numbers on them, everything, and then the shoes, Michael Jordan shoes and all that, where children were being robbed at gunpoint and having their clothing taken, children who didn't have those things because they felt like, okay, if you got it, I want it, and I'll make you give it to me, and then I'll be respected because I'll be wearing this thing that symbolizes status. So, you know, we created that behavior by the values that we gave them, the way we treat people who have money better than we treat people who don't have money. So how do we change that so that we don't create the manifestation of greed? That's my question. They grow up with.
Well, I think it goes back to what Brother Kwame brought up and you were elaborating on in terms of conception, that conception, first of all, needs to be in joy and love and peace and harmony and welcome, a spirit of welcoming into the world. I think when people come into the world and they don't feel welcome, it's the seed that they go around trying to prove that they're worthy of that. And this proving can take on the form of greed, you know, where they have to accumulate things and money and possessions, and some men have to accumulate women, all to show somebody else that they are worthy. And we have to come into the world not feeling that we have to show off at all. We don't have to show off anything. We just have to be and do what we came here to do. And we have to teach our children in the home. And we have to have a movement to put fathers in the home, to create fathers, not daddies, but fathers. We want them in the home because children deserve to have a mother and a father, somebody who can make a motion and somebody who can second that motion. And those are my thoughts on that right now. Hear what Brother Mark Shaheed has to say before we close out.
Can you hear me?
I don't know where this tremor comes up. And is something happening with your mic and Naima?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. Brother Mark?
Open the mic.
1-800-875-5925. Appreciate your name and where you're calling from, please.
Yes, Assalamu alaikum. This is me, Yatir Muhammad, calling from Sister Clara Muhammad STEMschool.com. Sister Clara Muhammad STEMschool.com. I'd just like to say to Sister Daima, I think, Latifa, that the problem.
No, you had it right. The name is Naima. You're right. you're right.
Oh,
the name is Naima.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes, ma'am. I think the problem may be in your internet, because you did something with your internet a minute or two ago and you cleared it up and then it came back again. So I just wanted to say that. But
okay.
We're working on a conference or a convention, Universal Rebirth and Al-Islam, STEM now and in the future of our people. You know, that's our theme. It's Universal Rebirth and Al-Islam, STEM now and in the future of our people. And I'm inviting people to call me. And
would you clarify that term STEM for our listening audience, if you would, please?
I sure would, brother. STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. And it's an acronym that kind of sums up what the modern educational world or the STEM nations, science, technology, engineering, and math, they concentrate on those subjects for their children. They start their children out very early with STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And it includes robotics and the computer science. And this is something that is kind of like a rebirth for us, because I remember when I was coming into the Nation of Islam, the captains and lieutenants of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, well, you brothers and sisters going to college, you know, you have to major and study. Mathematics transcends borders. Mathematics in Brazil. Sister Clara Muhammad STEMschool.com. So you could look it up on your internet, and please join us at the site. So the captains
what
and lieutenants
are you
say,
in?
Brothers and sisters, right now I'm in Los Angeles, California, but the internet is all over the world. Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School is all over the world, because it's online. Alhamdulillah.
So that's Amin from Los Angeles?
Amin Yasir Muhammad. Yes, from Los Angeles. Sister Clara Muhammad STEMschool.com.
Los Angeles. Okay, yeah, I just wanted to put it up on our screen. All right.
Alhamdulillah. So, like I said, the captains and lieutenants in the early 70s used to teach that. So this STEM really is a rebirth for us. That's why we're calling our conference Universal Rebirth and Al-Islam. You know, STEM now and in the future of our people. You know, Imam Kareem said a little while ago that Allah says in the Quran, kill not your children for fear of want. You know, we'll take care of them and you too. It not only has a meaning for like abortions, kill not your children, but it also have a meaning for teaching your children the right curriculum, the right education, the right thing. You know, kill not your children, kill not their mind. Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, give up sport and play. What does Honorable Elijah Muhammad mean by give up sport and play? In other words, you know, teach your children those meaningful subjects in school, the mathematics, the sciences, the biology, the chemistry, the physics. You see what I mean? Give up sport and play. That's what he said. That's what he said. That's what he means. Give up those frivolous things. Get our children. Let's don't abandon our children. Let's gravitate toward the Clara Muhammad school system. Let's upgrade it. Let's rebirth. You know, rebirth, universal rebirth. These are the same teachings. The STEM now is the teachings that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us at the time that he lives.
So, brother, we thank you for that information about the school. Now, I remember. I hope everybody can hear me okay. I remember when I was in high school and everybody was being pushed toward engineering And the thought was, this is where the money is. And so, you know, there were schools that were offering scholarships, but the thrust at that time was saying, well, this is where the money is, as opposed to this is how you can serve your community with the emerging technology. So I'm glad that the Clara Muhammad schools are focusing on that, because our world is becoming technologically advanced. But can
That's
we
right.
teach our children the purpose for education is to share knowledge with their community and enhance their community, as opposed to this is how you can get rich and make a lot of money? Because a lot of people abroad are sending their children to school to become doctors to make the money. And these same people are going into hospitals. They don't have any concern about people at all, and they're performing unnecessary operations because their incentive is the money and not the service. So that's what I'm saying. If we can change our reason for knowledge and education and technology and make it to be to serve humanity, then we have a solution. Mm-hmm. So I know we're about to wrap up. Yeah, we're about to wrap up in a moment. Go right ahead. You got about a minute.
Okay, and what you're saying is correct. And my brother, you know, in L.A., that's the school for STEM, because we have to understand, we were the creators of math. We were the creators of STEM.
That's right.
Islam was the creator of math, is that, because we put universities in.
Correction.
Continent.
God is the creator. God is the creator of all systems of knowledge.
Math was all here.
Right.
Here.
And you're correct. And that's the same thing I would say when people say they're healers, because nobody heals. The only person can heal is the creator. What we're looking at is, how do we define what's in our children? Because education means to put into. What we need to do is use the word in its correct form, is induce parade. What is in them that we help to bring out? Come with
that
the purpose. They're new human beings. What are they being here on this planet for? To become criminals, or to become the highest of the creator's representation? These are the choices that we parents, the male and female, guide that child to what it is that's in them to become. We give them the tools and the toy boxes. But see, we stopped giving grandma's lap time, and we gave them laptops, and we're not taking the time for them to use and engineer that technology.
Well, that's our job. That's our goal. That's what we must do for this next generation. So if you're a parent or a grandparent, pay attention to what you're teaching your child and demonstrating to your child, because we have a mission to change the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are global transformers. So we want to thank all of you all. And Mark Shaheed, last comments. Give us the time and dates of your next program on parenting and marriage, and then we're going to wrap up and close with our international greeting.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, I want to thank Maika for inviting me to the Female Solution today. I've enjoyed the conversation, the information that was disseminated. So tonight, Wednesday, on IWDM Radio, is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Sloan-Dean out of Miami, Florida, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. That begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And then tomorrow is the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir from the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, in Courtship and Marriage. And it begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And then also the MGM Roundtable tonight, we would have. But the telephone number to call in is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673. So, you know,
right. We'll tune on in and look forward to seeing you again real soon. And Maika, thank you so much for joining us. And as always, we appreciate
your wisdom.
Yes, ma'am. And, of course, to my brilliant co-host, Kareem Hamid, we thank you so much for all your comments. And all of those who called in and been a part of this discussion, thank you for being a part of the solution. I'm Naima Latif. Join us tomorrow for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green right here on this channel, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern. And wherever you are in the world, adjust your time so you can join us live. And we'll see you then.
Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Medasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Muhammad, edited by...
Talk Radio. Goodbye.